Well, we are in Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. This is the first time I'm speaking on this topic. It's a very fascinating topic. Eschatology. It's a very fascinating topic. So I will read one sentence from preface of one book. It's called Things to Come. I will read. The day in which we live has witnessed a surge of interest in biblical eschatology. Eschatology means things to come, future things to come. Whereas a generation ago, one theologian wrote like this. It's a very difficult sentence, but it has some humor as well. So you have to bear with this sentence. Eschatology is usually loved in inverse proportion. Students are here. I'm extremely glad. So eschatology is usually loved in inverse proportion to the square of the mental diameter of those who do the loving. You understood? So basically, it's very less loved. It's an inverse proportion to the square of people who love the topic. Okay. Today, another writes, the problem of eschatology may shortly become, if it is not already, the framework of American theological discussion. Okay. I'll read it again. The problem of eschatology may shortly become, if it is not already, the framework of American theological discussion. Okay. So that way it is really a fascinating subject. It has become a fascinating subject to me. See, when we need to understand some of the scripture, advanced scripture portions like this, we need to have our foundation properly. Foundational doctrines, foundational understanding of the scripture. If it is clear, we can build on top of that with clarity. Okay. So I got an opportunity to hear what our brother spoke from chapter 1 to 5. And I made sure that I'm not off of the mark. I was extremely glad that our brothers did a great job. I will tell you why as we go further. So, as we open up this chapter 6, it talks about seven seals. So, if you think about a seal, think about a letter that comes from a high official. Take from example, in the olden days, if it comes from king, it will be sealed. That it has come from so-and-so person. And only few people can open that. They have the authority to open that. So that type of seal it is. Here in this chapter, we see six seals. Okay. And looking at the chapter 6, verse 1, I will read it for you. Now I watched when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals. Okay. Lamb opened one of the seven seals. And I heard one of the four living creatures say with a loud voice, like thunder, come. So this is how for all the seals, when it is opened, the living creature, one of the living creature, we covered that in the previous chapters. It says, come, I want to show these things. Then John goes forward and he sees. So there is a very clear-cut demarcation from chapter 5 and chapter 6. Even in fact, chapter 1 to 5 of Revelations and the chapter 6 onwards, it's completely a different track. Or if you want to say, changing the gears, right? It's like we change the gear type. So chapter 1 to 5 is one, but from chapter 6 onwards, it's altogether a different genre, we can say. Different things are happening. So before the seals, I want to give you a quick understanding of some of the important terminology that we use. I remember back in California, along with Bill McDonald, another godly man, they both used to work together. And I heard from him, he used to say, me and Bill McDonald, we are vanilla Christians. Vanilla Christians means they stick to the word of God so much. Primarily, they are Bible students. Okay. Then only they are theologians. Okay. So that's one of the blessings being in assemblies. If you look at various our previous authors, especially Ironside and several authors, they're primarily Bible students, okay, or Bible scholars, we can say. Then only they are theologians. Okay, they always approached the scripture, keeping the local church in the mind and taking the scripture, studying together. I think that's one of the greatest blessings that we have. And we see here, as we are going into this further revelation, I'm not sure how many of you, I think especially you have been brought up in West, you might have heard these words a lot. But for me, it's a learning curve. Okay. So because in India, we never touch on these things. But succinctly, very without mentioning, some preachers, they touch these things. But I will tell you what it is. Looking at this, first thing, what is a millennial? Okay. This is one of the very important terms we have to understand as we read the Revelation. And also, it connects to Old Testament prophecies. Okay. So we see, what is a millennial? Is it 1,000 or 1,000,000? For me, that's the basic question. So coming from a non-Christian background, listening to this millennial, millennium means, is it 1,000 or 1,000,000? I want to start from that basics. Millennial means, in Latin, mille means 1,000. Annus means year, annual, that is 1,000 years. But when it comes to million, same Latin word means 1,000, and augmentative suffix one. It is very difficult to understand, right? Again, a technical word is suffice or suffix is one, means 1,000 thousands. Okay. So that's the difference. Millennial, when we study from the scripture, we are referring to 1,000 years. That's the word we need to keep in mind, 1,000 years. And now, to understand this millennial, or in other words, millennialism, okay, when we say ism means, people, they get into this discussion, they take positions, right? They believe it as another religion, that sort of deep conviction they have. But what I am understanding as I read scripture, many times it so becomes that our conviction becomes our authority. Our conviction, but rather the scripture should become our authority. Okay. It's great to have our conviction. We need to have convictions on few things. Okay. Because when I started my walk in the Lord, there are some core teachings. Okay. For example, God's will. We used to struggle a lot. And when I came here in US, no one talks about God's will. I thought everyone understands very easily, at least in the messages. Okay. maybe because of that cultural background or whatever it is. That's where we were living. And second topic is tongues. Okay. And basically in India, we were living in different churches, right? So those are the foundational teaching from the scripture we have to understand. Assurance of salvation. Okay. This afternoon, Brother touched on eternal salvation, right? The source of eternal salvation. Okay. If you don't understand those basic scriptural portions, it's very difficult to understand these topics. That's why in many churches, taking revelation is a very challenging thing. They don't pick up as a Sunday teaching thing. It's very, very difficult. Okay. So here, going further, let's say it's not millennialism we are talking about, millennial rule, how the scripture speaks about and various views. Okay. How Christians in the past, they try to understand this. Okay. And one of the beauties as Christians, we can at least have that competence to think about future. Okay. How future can unfold. What are the different ways? And as I was reading this, I was thinking this can become a beautiful tool for evangelism, especially in West. Among my colleagues, I was thinking I want to do a very deep, good understanding of what it is. I want to understand different views. So more than becoming what view I trust, first of all, I want to understand what is that view talks about, why they are struggling with this much understanding. So unless we understand those things, right, it's very difficult to navigate these things. We can just stick on to this is my view, okay, based on maybe church teaching, based on so many backgrounds. But let's see, broadly, I want to, at least for my sake, this is a good entry point for me or for most of you to enter into this topic. Schools of interpretation and millennial views. These are the two things at the, like a 10,000 foot level. Okay, I want to give this. What are two main schools of interpretation is history based and future based. History based and future based. When I say history based and future based means how revelation can be understood in a historical perspective. Okay. So that's the first. And second one is future. Looking at this chapter 6 onwards, many scholars, they look at this revelation from 6 as future event, even chapter 5 onwards. Okay. So first one is history based. Second one is future based. This is a schools of broad schools of interpretation. Once again, revelation, how they understand. Chapter 1 to the last chapter, how they lay down is the way the interpretation. I will show how it is. Next is millennial views. Okay. So if you understand the schools of interpretation, then millennial views, it's easy to understand. Millennial views, pre-millennialism. Millennial means, as we have looked at, there is 1,000 years of reign before those 1,000 years Jesus Christ comes into this world. That is called premillennialism. Okay. And post-millennialism or post-millennial is Jesus Christ will come after 1,000 years of reign. Is it clear? First one is premillennial means Jesus Christ will come before 1,000 years, which is mentioned in the scripture, and post-millennial means after 1,000 years, Jesus will come. Okay. See, as normal Bible believers, this may not look very important. But from the preacher's perspective, this is very, very important. What is that leadership or preachers or teachers believe in these things makes the teaching in a not a very problematic way, but in a very different way. I will tell you what it is, okay, as we go further. And third one is amillennialism, means there is no 1,000 years reign at all. These are the three general beliefs, okay, from the scripture. Okay. So as a church, as a leaders, what we believe, I will leave that. Okay. But this is what, how we approach. Okay. How we approach. So understanding millennialism, schools of interpretation, and millennial views. Now, let's see. It's very interesting. One, right? One. Historicist school. Okay. Historical view, as in the schools of interpretation, I mentioned schools of interpretation 1 and 2, right? So let's look at 1. Revelation visions. This is the entire book of Revelations. Okay. So if you look at, look at 1, 2, 3, right? 1, 2, 3 mapping to first centuries. It's a history they're mapping into the scripture, into the Revelation. And chapters 4 to 19, which contains seals, trumpets, witness, woman and dragon, beast, bowls, harlot, Armageddon, all these things they're mapping into the history. Okay. What is the history? Patristic means our early church fathers. Okay. And next one is medieval, means like 5 to 10 AD, BC. Sorry, AD. Okay. And Reformation. Okay. And modern church ages. Okay. So this, they're trying to map. Look at this chapter 20, 1 to 6. Okay. Note this. Most of the pictures that I show here, please make a note of this. Chapter 20, 1 to 6. Most of them, they believe this. Okay. 20, 1 to 6 talks about millennialism. Okay. And the remaining is the second coming, Jesus Christ coming after this, okay, general resurrection, last judgment, new heaven and earth. Okay, this is one historical view of interpretation. Next, okay. In the second, we looked at futuristic view, right? This is very easy. See, chapters 1, 2, 3 and letters to seven churches is the first century churches. And next, chapters 4 to 19, if you look at futurists, how they see all the ages here, starting from early church fathers to modern church ages, is here. And there is a gap here, if you see. And chapters 4 to 19 is tribulation. They look at like this. Okay. So these seals, trumpets. So this falls under tribulation, is a period of trials and an extensive difficulties, tribulation. And then second coming. Okay. Second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Believers are raised. There will be an Armageddon. And then millennium. And you see here, Christ reigns 1,000 years on the earth. Okay. And then follows the remaining things. So look at this. It's a very, very interesting chapters 1, 2, 3 and letters, seven churches, letters, first century churches. Okay. So this is the futurist view. That means in the future things will happen. Okay. And now, I mentioned 2A and 2B, right? So look at this. I want you to see the difference. So the difference, is there any difference? So I'll take back 2A. Look at this second coming, believers raised, tribulation is before. to be. This is also future. They look at chapters 4 and 19 as future. Okay. Future means future of this patristic, medieval, reformation, modern church ages. This is the future, right? This is part is future. Okay. And if you see here, this is a very interesting catch. Some dispensational interpreters think the churches addressed in chapters 2 and 3 predict different periods in church history. Okay. And in fact, in the entire our history, in the church history, that means church before church is raptured. Okay. So you need to spend your mind very carefully here. Look at this. Same thing as before, chapter 2a, 1, 2, 3, first century churches. Okay. And here, some dispensational interpreters think the churches addressed in 2, 2, 3 predict different periods in church history. Okay. So this is where we were brought up in India. So where, how we were taught is, the seven churches, they spread across these 2,000 years. Okay. We are living in a Laodicean period. That's how we were taught. And I was so glad, Joey brother, okay, he brought this up in his message. Okay. And he said, he doesn't believe or he doesn't agree to these things. Okay. Which I was so glad. Okay. But broadly, this is how future is dispensational premillennialism. Here, if you see, the rapture believers are raised here. This is the key point I wanted to mention. Okay. They're raised and then this tribulation starts. Okay. So seals, trumpets, witness, all these things come. And now it is very easy to move further. Let's see, millennial views. Okay. It's a cakewalk. It's easily to, we can understand. See, churches/tribulation. Here if you see, it's a classic premillennial. Okay. Believers, they're raised, caught up with Christ. They come back and the reign of 1,000 years. Okay. And resurrection of unbelievers, judgment will happen, eternal state. It's very straightforward. I'll repeat. It's a classic premillennial. Churches are tribulation. Okay. So believers are raised, caught up in with Christ, and there they come back. So here, how many years, that's not there. They're caught up with Christ and they come back. And there is a millennial reign here. Okay. And resurrection of unbelievers. And here, classical premillennialists differ over whether the renewed earth will begin in the millennial or the eternal state. This is another side note. We need to be, if you are interested, keep a note. Okay, as a Bible student, keep. Okay. Next. In pre-tribulation millennial, when we say pre-tribulation, look at the previous picture. Okay. Here, church age or tribulation, it is combined. And if you come here, there is a church age, which we are in. And believers, they are caught up. And then tribulation starts. Okay. So believers are caught up and then tribulation starts. And caught up with Christ 7 years. And they come onto the earth, believers with Christ. There will be 1,000 years of reign here. And resurrection of unbelievers, judgment, new heaven and earth, eternal state. Okay. So the main thrust, the main point is, as we are living in this world, as believers, will we be caught up with Christ when Christ comes onto this earth? Or will we be in the tribulation period? Will we also go through the trials and tribulations? That's the main summary. Okay. So now when we ask few believers or Christians, are we in tribulation period or not? Okay. So some people say, don't you know how much Middle East believers are going through? Their heads are beheaded. Are we not in tribulation? See how it comes? Okay. So, as having a good mind studying these things, I believe it's a blessing. For me, it's not about what I believe, but rather, why they are believing this? On what is the basis of the scripture they are coming to this belief? Think about this. Before tribulation, believers are caught up. Then the teaching will be different. How the preacher on the pulpit addresses several passages, it differs. That's why we want to be very, very careful in dealing with these things. It's easy in the churches to get on to these discussions, okay, and go off track, okay, having divisions. Okay. So that's why it's a very sensitive matter for some of the believers, especially who have born and brought up with this teaching, right? Now, let's say, post-millennialism. It's very easy. Churches, millennium, and Christ will come, resurrection of believers. It looks very simple, but there are intricacies are there. What does it mean? When you say, here is the millennium, resurrection of believers, is it already started? It says it's post-millennial, right? Christ comes. So here, we used to have conferences, especially in India. Here, not much, right? Every year there will be a conference on January. It's a youth meeting. Okay. Preacher comes. He says, you know what? Next year, we are not sure whether we will be there. Christ can come anytime. And hence, you believe. Okay. It's with a very good heart. And there is another teaching. Say, today you are staying here. You are driving. Okay. Christ can come today, tonight. Are you ready? So for a person who is this teaching, right? Before tribulation, believers will be caught up. He can teach that very easily with conviction. Okay. Because we are not in tribulation. Christ can come up anytime. Believers will be caught up. But when it comes to this teaching, post-millennium, it's a tricky year. Okay. So I'm not sure you're getting... Okay. So... Like that, no, there are very minute details. We need to be careful when studying this eschatology. That's why I'm extremely glad that our elderly folks, right, they don't get into this in the early stages of Christian life. We'll be completely confused. Okay. So that's where local church comes into picture, how we are discipled. All these things now. And the third one is amillennial. That means, look at this. Churches, okay, Revelation 20, 1 to 6 is now. And Christ, he will come, resurrection of believers and eternal state. There is no concept of like 1,000 years reign. Okay. This is an extreme position. Okay. So with all these things, we will enter into Revelation chapter 6 with all these different views. So you may ask me, what is that you believe? What is that you believe? I am mostly in pre-tribulation. Okay? But I am still working on my conviction. Okay? I want to really understand the different views. Okay? But when it comes to salvation, I have so much clarity. When it comes to assurance of salvation, clear. When it comes to tongues, very clear. See, these are the foundational things we need to really catch. And remaining things fall in place. We should not be carried away with the teachings that really disturbs us. We need to study. That's where a Bible student comes into picture. We need to train our mind. So with that, let's go into Revelation chapter 6. So, I hope I enough confused you or gave clarity. But for some people, right, it's very important. Okay. Some of us, it's not important. But that's okay. If you think it is important, take it up, study. If you think it is not important in my life at this juncture, that's fine. Okay. We are in different stages of our Christian life, Christian growth, our faith, we are growing. So we can be gracious to each other. So here, let's take Revelation chapter 6. There are six seals. Six seal, and we see what each seal does and how to understand this. And one of the amazing thing I understood from this, what is the authority on which the Lamb is opening these seals? Okay. Look at the authority. Last week we looked at, John was weeping. Who can open these seals? Who is worthy to open? Thinking about authority in our lives. And we see here, now I watched when the Lamb opened. No one can open. Lamb, our Lord Jesus Christ, he is the one has authority. That's a very important aspect. I was thinking for past year or two on the topic of authority. How does authority comes? Have you ever thought? How does authority comes? I have put four quadrants. Authority, how it comes. Unfortunately, I couldn't put here. Quadrant one. Formerly, by electing. It's a formal authority. Okay. He has been elected to have the authority. Okay. Next one. By recognition. Oh, he has the authority. By seeing his character. Oh, he has the authority. And third quadrant, by assuming that we have the authority. There is no authority but by assumption. And fourth one is by the order of God. Okay. Why I am telling is, in India, there is so much difficulty. I don't know here. You can correct. I'm sorry to bring this, the background of India, because it is important. In some of the assemblies, they don't have a formal elders. Okay. It's all by understanding, by assumptions. So how does authority comes? We read in pastoral epistles, Paul writing, asking Timothy and Titus, you appoint elders. Okay. So it's very important as we are attending the assemblies. Nowadays, it's we give very less obedience to our elders. Okay. Very less. I'm telling about myself also. Okay. We are not under the authority of the local elders. We don't even convey them how our lives are sometimes. And when it comes to especially US, America, we are all individuals. Advanced in financially, advanced socially. You need not go to an elder for any counseling. You click, you will get everything on the YouTube. What do you want? You want to sleep? How to sleep? Well, it is there. And we think the wisdom is available in the world. So I want to really encourage as even myself, how much I am under the authority. Okay. Under the authority of God, under the authority of elders, under the authority of parents. Okay. Even under the authority of husband. Now, it's a very hot topic, right? What is the husband and wife's role? Who is at authority? Especially when two are working. We see a lot of couples coming from India. Both are working. They're at par. Okay. Maybe here, already Western countries, they have gone through this already in 60s maybe. Okay, 1960s, 1970s. So authority is always questioned. Okay. But when it comes to our Lord Jesus Christ authority, okay, we see here, John was weeping. Who can open? Who is worthy to open? And we see here, now I watched when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say with a voice like thunder, come. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. See, these are the six seals in chapter 6. First seal, white horse. Okay. Its rider had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he came out conquering and to conquer. Okay. So, who must be this? From this verse, can we tell? The beauty is it's better to stick to the word of God. Don't immediately come just by seeing it, conquering, conquer, crown. Oh, it is Jesus Christ. No, no, no. Please be careful. This is where. And we see here, first seal, when it is opened, a rider on this horse, he came, conquer and conquering. What is conquering? What is? He has some authority there. That is the first seal. Even that authority is given by God, given by Jesus Christ. Without his allowing, nothing can be done. That's what we see. He's a sovereign. He's in control. And second one, second seal, bright red horse. Its rider was permitted to take peace from the earth. That means he disturbs the peace. That's why tribulation, the difficult time starts by looking at these things, we can say. Okay. So that people should slay one another, wars. Okay. And he was given a great sword. It's very clearly, this is because of the second seal, when the second seal opens. And we see a sequential increase of the difficult times. Okay. And the third seal, black horse, its rider had a pair of scales in his hand. It's very interesting. He had a scales to count, calculate. And I heard what seemed to be a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and wine. Okay. So we see here a famine. What it says, a quart of wheat and 3 quarts of barley. Okay. Restricted availability. Okay. A famine coming in. That's the third seal. And fourth seal, pale horse, its rider's name was Death, and Hades followed him. And they were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with famine, with pestilence and by the wild beasts of the earth. Pestilence. Okay. So again, as we understand these things, going back to those premillennial views, right? Think about pestilence. Okay. Some people can make pandemic, right? Last pandemic. It's like a pestilence. So, like this, especially young people, those who are passionate to study the Word of God. Okay. So we are slowly growing into the age, right? For us, oh, these things, okay, don't be. But for people who take it passionately, these things, how can't we say the entire 1 year we were under the fear of this pandemic? Where can we put these things? So instead of thinking like that, a futurist, what we are, most of us believe, we are seeing these seals as to come. Okay, not yet, in future they will be. Okay. So these are the four seals. And the fifth seal, there is no horse. Don't expect a seal means immediately there will be a horse. Okay. So here we see John saw under the altar souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne. They cried out with a loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Okay. This is a fifth seal, a different event or a period. Then they were each given a white robe and told to rest a little longer, until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers should be complete, who were to be killed as they themselves had been. That means that's a period of going through this tough times. Okay. Going through these times where some of the godly people will be killed. Okay. So that is the fifth seal. And the sixth seal, when he had opened the sixth seal, I looked and behold, there was a great earthquake. Okay. And the sun became black as sackcloth, the full moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth as the fig tree sheds its winter fruit when shaken by a gale. The sky vanished like a scroll that is being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth, and great ones, and the generals, and the rich and the powerful, everyone, slave and free, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand? This is the wrath of the Lamb. Lamb's wrath. Look at this. How under the altar they were crying out, O sovereign Lord, how long can we wait? And we see the judgment here. Okay. Judgment on all those people who were against the Lord. And we see here the wrath of the Lamb. So we remember the Lamb when it came, how what the John the Baptist mentioned, behold the Lamb of the Lord, behold the Lamb that takes away the sins. And we see here the wrath of the Lamb. Okay. We had seen the love of the Lamb, but here we see the wrath of the Lamb. And especially as the day is approaching, right? The great day of their wrath has come. Who can stand? So, there are days that are going to come. Who can stand before the wrath of this Lamb? Before the wrath of God? Who can stand? So, the question is, take home for us. If you see progressively increasing destruction in chapter 6 and 7 seals, if you go further, 8 trumpets and bowls, every living creature, 1/3 of all affected, here 1/4 of the earth. It's an increasing destruction we see. And as we are sitting here this evening, what is it that for us? So the question for us, are we ready to face our future? Are we ready? Where? What is our condition? When we look at 1 John, there is a verse I want to read. 1 John chapter 2. We should stand before God with confidence and with without shame. Okay, so I missed writing that verse. Thank you very much. Yes. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not to shrink from him in shame at his coming. So, to whatever section you belong to, whatever those schools, right? But one thing is imminent. Jesus Christ is coming back. Okay. Whether we are alive, whether when he comes, we'll be caught up, he is going to come back. That is for sure. And here, it says, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, what? We may have confidence. And not sink back from him in shame. So think about this evening. Let's check our lives. Before God, how can we stand? Think about the opportunities God is giving to us. Our health. Resources. People surrounding us. Opportunities to share the gospel. Can we stand before him with confidence? It's not arrogance. With Lord, you gave us this and we want to give it back to you, right? Giving him back whatever resources he has given to me. Are we ready? As the day is coming, are we ready? And there is a verse, Hebrews chapter 10, 25. Let's read that verse. Hebrews chapter 10, 25. It says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So it's easy, as we have moved from this pandemic, we can continue to be online. I'm not against it. We can continue to be online, but meeting God's people, either through, again, you can meet through Zoom or accountable, being accountable, that's the whole point here. As the day is drawing near, can we check our lives? So sometimes I was thinking, if I want to spend 1 hour prayer, can I do some studies? These days I'm thinking like that. I want to confess. Okay. Can I learn some new technology? Instead of taking time off to read the Bible, to spend time with the Word of God in prayer, what is taking priority? So yes, there are times or days as students, right? You have to work hard, you have to 2-3 days. I'm not telling those periods. How much we are hooked up with technology? How much we are hooked up with social media? How much time we are spending as we're looking at these seals, as Jesus Christ, as a lamb, he's going to open up in future. But right now, are we ready to face him? Are we ready to face him? So as an assembly, God has given us so many privileges, so many opportunities to come around. In India, to go to church, 1 hour, we used to go in bus, take buses, change to buses. And here, just get onto the bus, get onto the car, drive and come. Don't even think about gas, right? In India, oh, gas means petrol, how much it costs. Now, everything is available. I want to really challenge, if you permit me to ask, you have so much privilege. You have been brought up in Christian families. You know the scripture. You have been attending churches. Can you give back your life to God? Can you sacrifice few things? There are people are there without knowing Christ, without knowing who God is. Can you spend some time to pray for them? Can you reach out to them? Can you ask? Can you learn their culture? Can you close down some of the accounts? What accounts? I don't know. Maybe some of the channels, maybe we can close. We need not see all the news in the world. Okay. All the movies we need not see. Let's become the students of the Bible. May the Lord bless this. If you close your eyes, we'll pray. Dear loving Father, Lord, we want to stand before you. Lord, we look back and see several opportunities that you have given to us. We're extremely sorry, extremely forgive us, O Lord. Forgive us opportunities. Praying for someone who is in difficulty. Just telling hello, reaching out to them, loving our neighbor. Lord, we have gone far away, Lord, from these things. Forgive us, Lord, as individuals, as families, as an assembly. Lord, help us, O Lord, as we are going through the book of Revelation. Give us that reverence to us. Please prepare us, Lord, to face you with joy, to look for the day to meet you, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the assembly that you have given to us, for the elders, deacons, families. Lord, help us. Help us to draw closer to you, Lord. Remember us, Lord. Lord, we are people of stiff-necked many times, Lord. Please open our eyes of understanding to the great salvation that we have. Guide us and lead us. Bless this week as we go out. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.